Reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, as I was saying, we thought that through September we would look at some of the basic building blocks of our faith, with the purpose, I suppose you could say, of girding up our loins for a new start. Can't help feeling like a new start, can it, round about now, what with the schools going back and students soon arriving, new television schedules. And in no time at all, we were back in the thick of it, and before you know where we are, it'll be Advent and then Christmas. Hold on, Michael, don't get too carried away. We've hardly had August yet, and you're already talking about Christmas. Well, I'm not the only one, of course. Marks and Spencers and House of Fraser and Debenhams and all the others are preparing for Christmas even as we speak. Anyway, after the beginning of Matthew's Gospel and the build-up, the birth of Jesus, of course we will come back to that a little bit later on, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, the calling of the first disciples, we come to the beginning of the teaching of Jesus, as Alison read it for us then, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, which begins, "When he saw the crowds, he went upon the mountain," the hill, as we've seen, "and his disciples," it says, just the disciples, while the crowds hung back, just those few who had been called to follow him? Doesn't seem very likely. Perhaps it's a bit like today, that quite a lot of folk enjoy football. A smaller number follow it very closely. A smaller number still make their way each week to go to the matches. And some of those who don't go are just as keen as the ones who do and who have got the time and money to turn up every week at Anfield or the Etihad Stadium or even, I suppose, if that's your bag, Ashton Gate. It's a bit like today's church. Unless you draw a fixed line around who is in and who is not in the church, well, then we can think of ourselves as the followers of Jesus, but there is probably quite a few more people out there who are quite keen, but who just don't make it to church, don't really see any point, and think that Jesus must mean something a bit more than just what the church has to say about him. Anyway, whatever. The crowds, disciples, gathered. And amongst them, we can imagine there were the keen and the committed, there were the interested and the inspired, there were the bemused, the slightly bothered, the unsure and uncertain, but they gathered round. All were welcome in that place, just as all are welcome in this place. No one asks on the door asking you how faithful you are, how committed, how kind you have been during the last week before they let you in. I visited the church once many years ago, and a great big man with a great big smile shook my hand and nearly tore my arm off with welcome, and fixed me with a steely stare and said, "Are you saved?" I can't remember what I muttered in reply, but I have to say, I didn't really feel like going back there again. And the crowds gathered round, and Jesus begins to preach. And right the way through chapters 5 and 6 and 7, a great collection of all his sayings together. And at the end, we read, the people were amazed at his teaching. They had listened and they had heard something speaking to them and they were amazed. Here is the first building block. The people knew in their hearts that they were missing something, knew that their lives needed something. Today's church is sometimes criticized for just offering a crutch to needy people. As if being needy, as if admitting your need was somehow a sign of weakness. But with the explosion in interest in alternative therapies, in spirituality of every kind, not much of it to do with the traditional church, with the bookshelves groaning under the weight of self-help books and manuals, it shows that many people are needy. In fact, you could say that we all need something. The first building block of faith is admitting your need. Crowds gathered to hear Jesus. Maybe some of them wanted their diseases cured. Maybe some of them were seeking security in a pitiless world. Maybe some of them were trying to make sense of a changing world. Maybe some of them were wanting peace or some new perspective on life. Maybe others were feeling burdened under the weight of their own fears and failings. All of them, in their different ways, were admitting their need, or else they were, by hearing Jesus, discovering that they were in need, perhaps for the first time admitting it. Anyone will tell you, if you want to start overcoming your problems, the first step is to admit that you have got problems. And they gather round and Jesus begins to speak to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit are gathered in front of him. And they're gathered here as well, aren't they? And they hear him speaking to them. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are the sorrowful. The sorrowful are gathered in front of him, and they're gathered here, aren't they? And they hear him speaking to them. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. The meek are gathered in front of him, and they are gathered here as well, aren't they? And they hear him speaking to them. They shall inherit the earth. And on it goes. The thirsters and hungerers after righteousness shall be satisfied. The merciful shall be shown mercy. The pure in heart shall see God. The peacemakers shall be called God's children. Can you see what's happening here? Everybody hears Jesus speaking to them. Maybe they are merciful, or at least would like to be. Maybe they are poor in spirit, or know full well that they ought to be. So that everyone hears this beautiful vision in their own language. He's speaking to her. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to me. That's the next building block of faith. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter where we've been, doesn't matter what we'd like to be or how we think we should be, if we admit our need and come before God in Jesus, we find that He is speaking to us. But hold on a minute, you may be thinking. When? When is all this blessedness? The word can be translated happiness. What's it all about? In this world, with all its suffering and sorrow and injustice and pain and failure, oh yes, and its goodness still, but still, when? That's the great paradox of our faith. On all those who gather on the hillside and all those who gather here share the same feelings, really, as actually do millions of those who don't gather. When? When will the world be fair? When will justice be seen? When will the weak and the humble and the poor in spirit, the makers of peace, find peace and justice and an earth to inherit? Well, this is the last building block of faith for today. Those who gather to hear find a strange thing happening. The now and the then, the not yet and the almost here, and the already true are all rolled up into one. It is as if Jesus has collapsed all the yearning and the longing for a better world, sometime when, nobody knows, into the here and now. In Jesus, a world without mercy becomes merciful. A world without peace becomes peaceful. A world and lives lost in meaninglessness and failure find meaning and find that their failure is overcome. Those are the building blocks. Admitting our need, hearing God's voice in Christ speaking to us, and finding that God's kingdom, longed for, waited for, hoped for, is coming true before our very eyes. And then something begins to happen. The disciples, the followers, begin to separate from the crowds. Starts now in Matthew's gospel and carries on all the way through. Until at the end, well, there's hardly anybody left at all. As they begin to discover that Jesus is not just a teacher on a nice green hillside, he's not just a man, even a man who walks a hard road, but he's a Lord who lives and dies, and he is calling. And he's calling them. And he's calling her. And he's calling me. If you live by faith, you will suffer insults and persecution and calumnies of every kind. Well, when you do, rejoice and be glad. In such a world as this, you will need to live like the salt of the earth. And if you don't, you will be good for nothing. And in such a world as this, we who live by faith in the one who has promised blessings without let are the light of the world. And if we are, they will see and they may give praise to the Father in heaven. They may. That's the final thing today. They may. They may not. They may laugh in your face or ignore you altogether. But this is where those who gather in their need hear Jesus, the teacher, hear the voice of God, and begin to discover that he is the Lord of life. And those who hunger and thirst, those who are meek and humble and poor in spirit, begin to follow, begin to separate from the others, and discover that they are called to be the salt of the earth, and that they must shine like the light. And if they do, they shall have, as one translation puts it, the earth for their possession. But then they'll find that it's not merely the earth anymore. Jesus said elsewhere, "My kingdom is not of this world." And elsewhere he said, "Do not be afraid, for I have overcome the world." And Jesus, the teacher on the hillside, the living, dying Lord, lives forever. And whatever happens, whatever we must endure or enjoy, however much it feels as if we're rushing headlong into an unknown future, now, just round the corner, now, the earth we inherit is the kingdom of God.